We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Almighty Allah, who is the creator, sustainer, and nourisher of all the universes, those that are known to man and those that are yet to be discovered by us. Peace and salutations upon our most beloved master, our teacher, and our guide, the one who sacrificed his entire life so this deen can reach me and you, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had hand-selected and hand-picked to be the companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they could record his every action, his every mention, and his every notion, so this deen can reach me and you in this pristine and beautiful form that we have it with us today. When Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu wassalam returned back to Makkatul Mukarrama after being in Syria for a period of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him three instructions and three commandments, amongst others. The first was, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam to now build the Kaaba. The Kaaba already had some sort of form of resemblance, some sort of form, because it was built initially by Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this lengthy period of time, asked Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam to now build the Kaaba with his son Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. The second command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him was, وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ, that now cleanse my house, cleanse the surrounding of the Kaaba. It could have two interpretations. The first is cleanse it from all the filth and the dirt of all the idols that the people of the time had placed around the Kaaba. And the second could have been the long-term interpretation, that cleanse the surroundings of the Kaaba, the Haram, from all the munafiqeen and from all the idolaters. The third command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيكٍ. That now stand and make a proclamation so that the people could come for Hajj. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned by Mufti Shafi Sahib in Ma'riful Quran, he mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was at first a bit hesitant. He told Allah that, oh Allah, there is no one around here. No one, this is an uninhabited place. There is no one here to hear my call. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I instructed you to do something. What happens after that is my concern. I will take care of it. So the Mufassirin write, either Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam stood at the Maqam Ibrahim where we know it today, or he stood on Mount Abu Qubais and he made this proclamation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded for you to come for Hajj. It is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused his voice to be echoed throughout the earth, so everyone in the four corners of the world heard this proclamation of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah has commanded you to come for Hajj. So much so that all those souls that were not yet born also heard this proclamation of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the people that have already made Hajj and all the people that will make Hajj till the day of Qiyamah, that time already at the proclamation of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they answered with the labbaik, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, ya Allah, we are present, we are ready to come for Hajj when it is our time. So this is where the origin of the labbaik had come from. And from that time onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيكٍ, that people will come walking, people will come on their lean conveyances from every corner, nook and cranny of the earth to witness and to perform the Hajj. So from that time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam till today, and inshallah till the day of Qiyamah, people are answering this call of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya'tuka rijala wa ala kulli dhamir ya'tina min kulli fajjin amiq. This beautiful institution of Hajj that we have been gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, it is not just a ritual that a person needs to do once in his life and get it over and done with. But it is such an institution that if one has to look at the lessons to be learned from this beautiful institution, it is one that it will be a means of our salvation in this world and in the year akhirah. So what are the lessons that we can draw from this beautiful institution, this beautiful ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us to make at least once in our lifetime if we have the means? Number one, we must realize and we need to have firm belief and yaqeen in this, that it is not wealth that is going to take you for Hajj. It is the call. If we have to look at the rate of deferrals this year, close to 60% deferrals or declines in accreditation, we can only attribute this to a certain person's call. Within the 2,000 quota, even though that person might have been 4,000 or 5,000 down the line, it was his call that he's going to go for Hajj this year, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accredited him, and that's how he went. Those people that rejected the accreditation, that was only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't will them to be here this year, maybe next year, or maybe the year after. If we hear the stories of those that went for Hajj and we realize that from having no money to go for Hajj, they actually came back with change, and that is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is your call, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your means. Put your name down on that list. When it is your time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you the means. Generally, the trend is first to stop in Madinatul Munawwara, the city of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his resting place, his final abode was in Madinatul Munawwara. When we go to Madinatul Munawwara, why do we go there? We go there solely because we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only our love for him that will make us undertake our journey and start off our journey with making salam to him and greeting him and being in his presence. We go to Madinatul Munawwara for three reasons, for three intentions amongst others. The first is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati," that whoever visits my qabr, then my intercession will be binding on him on the day of Qiyamah. And who doesn't want this intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because that is our guaranteed entry into Jannah. The second is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that whoever visits my qabr after I have passed away, it is as if though he had visited me while I was alive. And those that visited Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was alive, I regarded the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that whoever undertakes a journey solely to visit me, then Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guaranteed that person the neighborhood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. And what better neighborhood than the neighborhood of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person leaves Madinatul Munawwara, leaving with a saddened heart, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make this an expulsion, but only making it a leaving to return again, a person dons the ihram. And this particular institution of ihram, it has many, many lessons that we can learn from it. The first is total submission. It doesn't apply to the logic of a person that he is commanded to wear only two pieces of white cloth. that he is not able to trim his hair or clean himself, trim his nails or apply perfume. Logically, it does not apply to our minds. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When his Rabb told him, Aslim, submit yourself to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said, I submit myself to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universes. And that is the first message and the first lesson that we can learn from this institution of ihram only. That we need to be submitted to Allah. We call ourselves Muslim. Those that have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we deny His laws. So, we're going to say to ourselves, or we're going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aslamtu lillahi rabbil alameen. I submit myself to all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it applies to my logic or whether it doesn't. Whether I want to follow the command or I don't want to, I am still going to. First lesson of ihram. The second is when a person is in a state of ihram, he is very conscious. He is very conscious of what he can do and what he can't do. Always going to the Maulana and asking him, Maulana, I scratched, little hair fell out, what must I do? Whatever our prohibitions are with regards to ihram, a person in ihram is very, very mindful of it. This institution of ihram should be throughout our lives. Oh Allah, in every given moment of my life, what can I do and what can't I do? Be conscious of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you. The angels are recording your every move, your every thought. Make sure that whatever I do is with regards to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing what Allah commanded and staying away from what He prohibited. The third lesson we learn from this, from ihram, is that of the labbaik. The best ibadah that a person can be doing while he's in the state of ihram is that of labbaik. Continuously reading, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. What am I saying? Oh Allah, I am here. I am here to fulfill your commands on this journey of mine of Hajj. But when I come back home, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, I am here to fulfill every command of yours. Oh Allah, I am here, use me for the service of your deen. Use my body, use my wealth in the service of your deen. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, I am here, use me for the orphans, use me for the widows, use me for the masajid, use me for the madaris. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, I am here, use me for the upliftment of your deen. This labbaik also teaches us to be constantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I met one person on the plains of Arafah and I told him, your voice seems to have been gone. He says, now alhamdulillah, I have made amal on the sunnah of the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. The sahaba used to read the labbaik so much that when they came to the plains of Arafah, their voices were gone. In our daily lives, make a point of being in the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Not necessarily with a tasbih reading Allah, Allah all the time. But know the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every given moment. The dua before going in the toilet or coming out, before eating or after eating, before sleeping or after sleep, when waking up. All this falls in the ambit of dhikr of Allah, being constant in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The institution of ihram teaches us equality. The person that has R1 million in his bank account and the person that had R20 in his bank account or the person that didn't even know what a bank account is. All those people looking the same in two pieces of white cloth. All those people focused their attention to one being that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Left all their luxuries and everything at home. Because this is me and my Allah, not my family, not my bank account, not my car, not my house. It is me only, not even what I am wearing, me and my Allah. I want Allah, that is my end result. That is what I want to achieve at the end of my life. It is the ridha man li of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, and ultimately Jannatul Firdaus, inshaAllah. So, don't worry about everyone there had one focus. We also in our daily lives, we might be doing different things, different professions, different businesses, different standings in community. But remember the person standing next to you, whichever country he came from, wherever, whichever country he is going to, me and him finally are going to go to the same place. So don't discriminate between anyone. This Institute of Hajj and Ihram also gave us a realization of our journey of life. We left everything. We left our families, we left our houses and our cars. We went solely on a journey with nothing but our bare minimum provisions. That is like how a person leaves everything and then passes on. We take nothing with us besides the garment on our body and the a'mal that is sufficient for the year after, the provisions for the year after. Then you don the ihram, which is equal to your kafan. Before that, you made a ghusl before you put on your ihram, the ghusl that is going to be given to you before your kafan. Then you are on the plains of Arafah, the same place where the day of judgment is going to take place. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive you. You're going to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take you to Makkah al-Mukarramah, which is going to ultimately be our Jannah, insha'Allah. It reminds us of our journey of life. That where we came from, what's going to happen, and where we are going to. In this beautiful journey of Hajj, we make shukr and qadr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He has given us. You see people from different countries, different backgrounds. You see the conditions in which those people stay in. We South Africans are very spoiled. We stay very close to the haram, both in Mecca and Madinatul Munawwara. You see people walking for kilometers early in the morning to come for Salatul Fajr. They go back to their hotel only after Salatul Isha because it is a walk away. Some people complained about their tents in Arafah and Mina. And you see people that don't have tents sleeping on the sand only. You see people coming with their own man-made tents to sleep on. You give a person a meal and it's like they have gold. Make qadr of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Make qadr of the institution of the maktab, of the madrasa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us South Africans with. If you have to look at different people from different countries, people from Turkey, a supposedly Muslim country, elderly in their age, because of whatever the country had gone through before that, don't know how to read Quran. You see people from different countries, don't know what they must do, how they must do, when they must do. And you as a South African, what alhamdulillah, plenty ulama, alhamdulillah you have the institute of the maktab and the madrasa and the Muslim schools that are educating us. From our small children, they know how to read Quran. And you look at an elderly man, he's at the end of his life, and yet he does not know how to read Quran. Make shukr and make qadr and support the institutions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and make dua for maghfirah and for goodness for those people, for those elders that have set up this institution so me and you can benefit from them today. Ultimately, the challenge when you come back from Hajj is to keep up whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you tawfiq of doing while you are on Hajj. You made an effort, a concerted effort to read your 5 times salah in the masjid. You made an effort of controlling your tongue, of controlling your gaze. Many people who left South Africa before Hajj in a state wanted to impress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul because they were there in the holy lands. So people started growing their beard, wearing the kurta, wearing the topi, although they were not doing it before. But they started doing it in the holy lands. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my beloved Nabi are there. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not with us for the rest of our lives? Women who never wore decent clothing before they left, wore niqab in the plains of in the beautiful cities of Madinatul Munawwara, they felt ashamed of showing their face to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while they were in his company. But is my Allah not looking at me at every given moment? Why there are we more conscious of the fact that Allah is looking at me? And when I come back home, then we fall back in our comfort zones and we carry on the lives that we already had lived. Let us make this Hajj a turning point in our lives, inshallah. And we end off with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is actually a warning for those that do not perform Hajj. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man lam yamna'ahu min al-hajj," that person who has nothing stopping him from Hajj. Example, a maradun habisun, a disease or a sickness that is preventative, or hajatun zahiratun, or apparent deformity that he cannot perform Hajj with, or sultanun jairun, or a government or an oppressive ruler that is not letting a person go for Hajj. That person, if he does not have a valid excuse for going for Hajj, obviously if he has the means for going for Hajj, and he does not have an excuse not to go for Hajj, then that person, when he passes away and he's not made Hajj yet, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Insha'a falyamut yahudiyan," or "wa insha'a falyamut nasraniyan." If that person so wishes, then let him pass away as a Jew or let him pass away as a Christian. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Start saving every penny of yours if you have not made Hajj yet. Put aside whatever you can. Have a firm desire to go for Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah open your doors and open the means for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those that have made Hajj already, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from them and grant them a Hajj maqbool and a Hajj mabroor. And all those that have not yet gone for Hajj and have a desire in their heart, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them and accept it from them and make all the means possible for them. Whatever I have said that is good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever I have said that is incorrect is from myself and shaitan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.